a commandment. Tell the mountains to bow down to their creator and pay him honor. Tell the trees to sway to the glory of God. Lift your leaves to the Almighty and pay him honor. Order the seas to roar, wave after wave, crashing to shore, paying him honor. Hear ye, O mankind, an edict has been issued. God has spoken, oh, that he may open the ears. Bend the knee, O wretched man, crush your spirit, that I may bless you. Oh, that you know what my creation knows. If you trusted me as they trust me, seek after my ways, for they are the ways of light. Search my word, for treasures are found. Give me your heart that I can use, and I will fill it with love. Love will sustain you, then you too will honor me. Hallelujah. Just a little note. I want to teach about something this morning that is very, very difficult for me to do. I don't know if I've ever taught on this lesson or not, but I don't have much to go on. Not that I haven't studied. Don't misunderstand. But I don't have much to go on, and I will explain that in a minute. But I do know that it is an essential ingredient in the livelihood of every child of God, and that is love. Love. You can't go down to the grocery store or the supermarket or hardware store and buy it off of the shelf. It doesn't come in a bottle, and it doesn't tell you what ingredients is in there. If you ask somebody what is love, they would probably have a hard time explaining it to you. I know I would. It's just something that we use every day, and yet we have no certain definition of it. We do know that the Bible speaks and says God is love. Right. And that helps us in some great detail. But love can cover many areas that we are sometimes unfamiliar with. So bear with me this morning and use maybe your own definition of what love is, as long as it coincides with this word. No, I've given several pieces of advice. You know, advice sometimes is free and sometimes it's not used. But I've told them, I said, as long as you stay within the pages of this book, you're all right. I said, but once you step outside the pages of this book, I said, you're open to everything that is detrimental to your soul. There are different types of love. There's a love between a husband and wife. Now, I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but you didn't know me before I came here to Landmark, and that might be the greatest blessing that you ever received. But for me, I never knew what love was until I met that mean, vicious woman back there. I didn't. And I'll tell you why. That kind of love between a husband and wife has to be reciprocated. If you continually give and that love does not return to you, it will eventually die. I know. The love between a husband and wife has to continually be expressed between the two. You can't expect one person to give on a constant basis and expect love to succeed throughout that lifetime. It just don't work that way. We tell each other we love each other every day of our lives. And if it's all possible, I make sure that I plant my beautiful lips up on her forehead every night before I go to bed and tell her I love her. And she does the same to me. And that's what makes love go around, I suppose, between a husband and wife. Anyway, I like it. I like it. Then there's a love between God and man, which is a constant love. And that love never dies, and there is no condition to it. There is no condition to the love that God has towards mankind. It is constant. It is renewed every morning, you might say, between God and man. He loves you. Plain and simple as that, He loves you. But then there is a love between neighbors. Ouch. There is a lot of scriptures in the Bible concerning this topic called love. And I'm going to read a few of them. And the first one is found in Matthew 22 and 37, and you do not have to stand. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now notice what it said, the next verse says, This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I want you to know something. I love me. I'm going to repeat that. I love me. I think I'm great. I think I'm. And it says, on these two commandments, and I want you to grab that word commandment. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is not something that we can pick and choose out of the Bible. This is not something that God says, well, if you want it, you can take it. If you don't, you can leave it. It is not there. But as saints of God, this is a commandment that is made directly to the church. It is demanded of us that we love. And I don't think for one minute that you can do it on your own, because it is not imputed into the human factor. Standing by ourselves, we cannot love this world. We can't do it. And everybody that's in it, we can't do it. It's just not there. It's just not in our capacity to love our neighbor who robs and steals and kills and destroys, who cheats, who commits, well, I'll get to that. In Mark it says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. This is the first commandment. Mark said that. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now here's the secret. If we can't follow these commandments, then we are not close enough to God. Because that is the only way that we are going to find the capacity in our heart to love those that don't love us, can't give back. The only way we can love people that do dirty, rotten deeds and we don't like it is that if we don't love them, we're not close to God like we should be. Because it is from God that we get our source. Did I hear amen? out of that. It is from Him, and only Him, that gives us the capacity to love. I can imagine now as Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yeah." And three times the answer and the question was asked, "Do you love me?" If we love Jesus, we have no alternative, but we've got to love our neighbor. No matter what. In Romans 13:9 says, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery." Notice this. These are commandments. "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Isn't it strange? Love works no, according to 13 and 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Have you ever said to yourself, "Well, I wish they would fall into a pit"? That'll teach them. They'll learn then, won't they? Why don't they lock them up in jail? Have you ever prayed, God, get them. Get them. Make them suffer. Why? Because of our own feelings, we want to make them suffer. Our fleshly feelings. Don't tell me flesh don't get in the way. Flesh, if you want to know your worst enemy, look in the mirror. And you will find the greatest enemy that you ever faced in your life. There is a core, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law above everything else. Above everything else that we try to do and try to say, and it all boils down to one thing. There is a correlation between grace and love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself." Loving someone does not mean that you put approval on what they do. And a lot of people misunderstand that in such a great way, especially the world who doesn't know any better. And they'll quote it every time. I've seen it time after time. And they say, "Well, God loves me." Yes, he does. You're telling the truth. You're right on the money. But just simply because God loves you doesn't mean that he approves of what you're doing. If he did, he would not have had to die. He could have just looked over our sins and say, "Oh, well, they're just people." But he knew that people needed more than what they had. And he knew that if he could get the love of Jesus Christ in them, you ever thought about that? If every one of us could get the love of Jesus Christ in us, do you realize the power that would be in this house? The power that would be where we walk and where we talk, where we work? If we could get just the love of Jesus Christ in us, if we could do that, we wouldn't need that scripture where it says, "Be ye angry, but sin not." Because if we had the love of Jesus Christ, there would be very little anger. And there certainly wouldn't be any gossip. Oh, hurt, pain. What in the world would we do without gossip? What would we do without tale bearing? It is a weakness that is in our churches today. I said our churches. That's plural. It is a weakness that is among the saints of God. It is a main tool that Satan uses on each and every one of us. If he could get us just to talk about our neighbors instead of loving our neighbors. One of the hardest lessons I've ever had to learn was back in Arkansas, and I was just a young child of God. I knew everything, but I didn't know anything. And it seemed like one of the leaders of the church, his daughter had gone haywire. She run off with a boy. And me and another guy was standing in the back of the church. I remember it as if it was just yesterday. We were standing in the back of the church, and we was talking about it. And there was an old converted Baptist minister that come up to us, and he looked at us and he said, "You know what?" He said, "When I heard about that, the first thing I did was go home and fall on my knees." You could not have found a rock big enough for me to hide under. It was a lesson that I had learned. Instead of talking about somebody, why don't we pray for them? Instead of gossiping, why don't we get down on our knees and pray on their behalf if they've messed up? Why don't we encourage them and pat them on the back and tell them beyond a shadow of a doubt, I love you. If we could reach them with that one ingredient that we cannot explain, we can convert souls. No matter what they've done or where they've been, it doesn't matter. The love of God covers all sin. And if God can forgive them, why can't we forgive them? If God can take a chance on me, and you, who are we to say who can and who cannot walk in our presence without judgment? Without ridicule? Without belittling someone behind their back? At least be man enough or woman enough to come to their face. But we need to make a habit of laying aside our indifferences, no matter what they are and who it's with, whether it be our neighbors across the street or our neighbors across the world. If only they could see the love of Jesus Christ that shines in our hearts, it'll make a world of difference. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. And are convinced by the law as transgressors. I'm going to read that again. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. It's not the church's duty or obligation to pass judgment upon anyone or to put one person above another or to put one person below another. In God's eyes, all men and women are created equal. at the foot of the cross, we're no better and no worse than anyone else, whether they be rich or poor, black or white, red or yellow. Doesn't make any difference. They're a soul in the eyes of God. And our duty and our obligation as saints of God is nothing more and nothing else but to love. God bless you. Let's stand together.